I saw my daddy at the hospital. I made a promise to him that I would stop. And I did. I visited him every day. And I made it, I made a promise to him. And I stopped for a while. But it took a toll. We died. And I couldn't handle it.
Because I'm going to pack my suitcase. And down the road, I'll be gone.
This is the Helping Up Podcast, all about addiction, recovery, and grace. I'm Vic King, chaplain at Helping Up Mission in Baltimore, Maryland. And this month, our story is from Jackie Robinson. Not the famous baseball player, but a great man nonetheless. We hope you enjoy it.
I just don't know what it is.
Okay, so born where?
Born in Jacksonville, North Carolina, Onslow County.
Really?
Born on Marine Base.
Marine Base?
My dad was Marines for 35 years.
Wow. Okay, so Carolina boy, and how many kids in the family?
Six.
You were which?
You might call me the knee baby.
Okay.
I was the last, not the last of the bunch, but I'm the knee baby.
Your dad served for 35 years, so how many of those 35 were you alive? So during your what years was your dad still in the military?
Oh, man, my dad, tell the truth, my mom and my dad got divorced, I was 12.
Okay.
So.
And he was still in the military at that point?
Yes.
So now, with him in the military, did you guys move around a lot?
Yes, I was a little baby. My mom said we travel a lot, you know, and she got tired of traveling. So we just parked out and she just stayed down with North Carolina.
So you guys, you grew up, all six of you, grew up with mom in Carolina?
Not all six of us.
How many went with mom or how many stayed with mom?
Four of us.
Four of you, and then the other two with dad, or they moved on?
They were with my grandmother.
Okay, with your grandmother. Wow. Did you have much of a relationship with your dad after that?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Well, the last time I saw my dad, I was 12 years old.
Wow.
And then when I saw him again, I was 24.
Now, do we still have your dad?
No, my dad passed away November 27, 2013.
Okay. How about your mom? Do we still have her?
Mom's still alive. Okay. Mom's still kicking.
Still in Carolina, North Carolina?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Back in the old home area?
Yes, sir.
So, high school down there?
Yes.
Did you finish?
No, I didn't.
How far did you go?
12th grade.
Got into 12th grade, and you dropped out or got kicked out?
Dropped out.
Dropped out. Why?
Just started hanging with the wrong crowd, you know, yeah. And stopped meddling with the dope, the drinking. That didn't feel right.
What do you remember was your age of first use?
I was 16.
And what did you use first?
I was drinking wine.
Okay. Drinking it out with your buddies, or were you sneaking stuff at home?
Out with my buddies.
Did you drink that first time because of peer pressure, or did you really want to do it?
I really wanted to do it, just to try it out.
All right, so it was experimenting.
Yes.
I wanted to experiment.
When I talk about my past, it hurt. But when I first started using, I just like gave up. Because when my daddy left, it took a lot out of me.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'll go ahead and do this. Maybe I get some attention.
Yeah.
I got attention, but the attention wasn't the right kind of attention.
But at that time, you couldn't tell the difference or didn't care?
No, I didn't care.
So by your 12th grade, when you dropped out, would you say you were a full-blown alcoholic?
Yes.
Wow. So you first time you drank, you got drunk, and you liked it,
mm-hmm.
and or you didn't care, and you were off to the races.
I was off to the races.
Okay. So you dropped out. Were you living at home still at that time?
Yes, at the time.
All right. And when you dropped out of school, what'd Mama say?
Mom told me I got to go back to school, so I left the house.
Yeah. Did you already have a job at that point in your life?
Yeah, I had a job.
So you kept that job, or did you get something else?
I kept the job, went work every day.
Kept drinking?
After I got off work, yes.
When did we get into to drugs? Did we ever mess with drugs?
When I got into drugs, it was about 21, 22 years old.
Your drug of choice by the time you got here was?
Alcohol and crack.
Alcohol and crack were your two drugs of choice for decades.
Yes.
That's 30 years. So you just continued to drink and drug, bunch of different jobs.
Yep.
Probably a bunch of different apartments.
Yes.
And when had you gotten married?
I got married 2014.
You'd already moved up here by now.
Yes.
What got you out of North Carolina to the Baltimore area?
My father. He was diagnosed with cancer.
And he was up here?
Yes, he lived up here. So he wanted me to come and stay with him, but I was so naive. I want to keep running the street and do what I want to do. But when he got on his dying bed, he wished to see me for the last time I came up. I saw my daddy at the hospital. I made a promise to him that I would stop. And I did. I came up to stay with him and help him out. And I told my mom I wasn't coming back down to North Carolina.
Okay.
So I told my daddy, while my dad was in the hospital, I stayed at his house. I visited him every day. And I made a promise to him. And I stopped for a while. But it took a toll. We died. And I couldn't handle it.
When you stopped seeing him, and it would have been hard going in to see him every day, it would have been hard.
Yes.
When you stopped, were you using?
Yes.
So after he passed, did you really go out, get out there, go after it?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And is that when the mini stroke happened?
Yes.
Do you know what caused the mini stroke?
I was just sitting at my uncle's house with my wife and everybody, and I kept looking at my wife. She was jet way looking at me. I said, I can see you, but my eye going blur. So she's a nurse, and my blood pressure was sky high. They rushed me to the hospital. I stayed in the hospital for 3 days.
So she got you to the hospital, and they diagnosed it. So you stabilized, and they diagnosed it as a mini stroke. Did that really scare you?
Yes, it did.
So at this point now, you got all this guilt at your daddy's death, probably picked up even worse after he died. Then you had this mini stroke. Did we consider that a moment of clarity, a spiritual awakening, or?
Yes, I did.
So it really did have an impact on you?
Yes.
Okay. And for how long? What happened then?
After he passed away, you know, I stayed clean for a while. Then the issue, you know, you start thinking about if you could have done this or done that for him, would he still be alive? And guilt started hitting me. So I just gave up, just went back out. It came down to a point that every time I get paid, my money get gone fast. After we take care of the bills and stuff, and I go out, hang out late, then I lie to who I'm hanging with. I'm hanging with my cousin, but I be mostly hanging with the guys I get high with.
Yeah.
So she took it upon herself to come home early from work. And I was sitting there drinking. But she didn't see me drinking, but she could smell it. And that when she told me, she gave me an ultimatum. It's the liquor or me. So, you know, after that, things just stopped going downhill. She decided that, okay, since you don't want to quit, I'm going to leave you. So at the time, I didn't care.
The worst part of your addiction was what?
Basically, most of it was half and half. I say half and half. The guilt, the double life, lying, manipulating people to get what you want.
And in most cases, there's people that loved and that loved you.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's really painful.
It
really is. So she did leave?
Yeah, she left me. She moved everything out of the house. I didn't know where to go at the time. So I called my uncle up. He let me live with him for a while. My cousin, he's a bishop. He came up to me. He said, "Cuz, I know a place that can help you." And he told me about this place here.
So when your cousin, the bishop, said, "I got a place for you, it's helping out mission," would you say you had surrendered? Did you have your moment of clarity and surrender, a spiritual awakening and surrender before you got here? Or did that happen after you got here?
Before I got here, because I was tired.
Did you understand what this place was going to be like?
Yes, he told me about that place.
All right. So you had an idea and you were willing to come.
Yes,
sir. Did you know it was going to be a year long?
Yes.
And you were okay with that?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
Yes, I was.
All right, so you got here when?
June the 10th.
June the 10th. What was the hard part when you got here?
The hard part was I really ready for it? Was I really ready to surrender and be sincere about the program?
So the hard part being here was, can I really sit still and do? Not so much what I pick up again, but can I just sit still and wait?
Or can I cope with other people's attitude?
Now, where was your wife in the story?
She was, she had her own place. She had got her own place there. And she did not know I was here.
When did she find out?
She found out about it about the last two or the 45 days I was here.
So when did she first see you?
When I came off my 45 days.
You went to see her?
No, she came here.
She came here.
Picked me up, and she showed me where she lived at, and we talked.
Were you afraid that she didn't love you anymore and she was done with you?
Yes. So I really was.
But she never gave up on that,
no,
I guess.
She told me she never gave up on me. Well, she didn't want to get myself together.
And she was willing to wait some and do tough love.
Yes.
So did she ever want you to leave the program and come home before graduation?
It crossed her mind. But I told her I'm not leaving. I saw her, I got to do it for me.
And so your reason was, I started it,
I need to finish it
for me.
Yes.
And then as you're getting to the end of the 12 months, so you're going to graduate, then you wanted to tackle your high school diploma.
Yes, sir.
Now, what's your plan career-wise? What's the next step for you?
I used to be a security officer, you know. I might try to go in that field.
So you grew up with church and faith. When did that really kick in your recovery and you really surrendered and regrouped and recommitted yourself to your faith? When did that happen?
When I got here, I just asked God to help me stay faithful, be humble, and give me patience. And when I pray every day about that, I went into the chapel one afternoon, and the choir was singing. And I just felt the power, and I just wanted to join the choir. Ever since I've been in the choir.
So you were here how long before you that happened?
I was still with an applicant.
From the jump, you went into the chapel seeking God, and that's the day you heard the choir and said, I'm in.
Yep.
And so that's been a big part of your deal here.
Yes, it has.
You guys go to a lot of churches.
I enjoy every minute of it.
You really love that. So say a word about your church.
My church is New Jerusalem. My cousin, he's the bishop, he owned it.
So that's his church.
That's his church.
Yeah, that's his church.
So that when we started going to his church and become a member there. And I've been going there ever since.
So what's the best thing about Helping Up Mission for you?
This place is awesome. These people will go all out. Like the time you helped me out. And my situation, I would tell you, Miss Scott, Mike Roll, all about my situation. This place will go all out to help you any kind of way they can.
Now you have of course, with work therapy, you're an intern in our food service.
Yes.
And you've been doing that how long?
6 months.
6 months. So pretty much when you were eligible for an internship, we offered you one. Mm-hmm. And so you've been doing that. And that's been meaningful for you.
Yes, it has.
Mental health therapy, has that been a good thing for you, your therapist?
Oh, yes, most definitely. I've been a Cornerstone. Well, graduated out of Cornerstone.
So you got the choir, your mental health, Cornerstone, and anything else that's been really special to you and meaningful to you here?
The people.
Yeah, people in general. Yes. Staff and clients.
Yes. Like I tell a lot of guys, just because I got an intern badge, I'm still a client here.
Well, is there anything that you'd like to say to or about the people that support Helping Up Mission?
I'd like to thank them for all the offering, their dedication, their donation. They are tremendous at helping people and for funding the building across the street.
And we have a lot of volunteers that come and work in the kitchen.
Yes, yeah, those volunteers, they are awesome too. They real good people. They humble. They ask you questions, you know. And this is a real program that you gotta be honest with yourself.
Well, thank you, man, for doing this.
Thank you,
Carl. This is really great.